Welcome to Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, Sinan Du.
And I'm Sinan. It is great to be with you today.
We have a really hardware and software heavy show today. We're going to be looking at a massive acquisition by AMD that could fundamentally alter how we think about AI inference hardware.
Right. They are buying a startup that is literally etching neural networks directly into silicon. It's a wild concept with some insane performance numbers.
And on the software side, Anthropic just dropped a major update to their SDKs that is going to make building complex, long-running AI agents significantly cheaper and more reliable. We'll get into the weeds on session budgets and mid-conversation tool swapping.
We've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's dive in.
Let's start with this hardware news. On August 6th, 2026, AMD announced a definitive agreement to acquire a Toronto-based AI chip startup called Talos.
And Talos is a relatively new player. They were only founded in 2023, but they had already managed to raise around $219 million before AMD scooped them up.
The reason they commanded that kind of capital and clearly caught AMD's attention is their approach to AI inference. They've developed what they call a hardcore model architecture.
Yeah, hardcore is a pretty accurate name for it. To understand what they're doing, you have to look at the biggest bottleneck in AI hardware right now, which is the memory wall. In a traditional GPU, you have these incredibly fast compute cores, but they spend a huge amount of their time just waiting for the model weights to be fetched from the high bandwidth memory.
Exactly. Shuffling billions of parameters back and forth between memory and compute takes time, and it consumes a massive amount of power. Talos looked at that and said, what if we just don't move the data?
Right. Their solution is to take the specific weights of an AI model and physically etch them directly into the silicon of an application-specific integrated circuit, or ASIC. There is no separate memory bank. The model is the chip.
It's a fascinating return to highly specialized hardware. They built a technology demonstrator called the HC1 using TSMC's 6-nanometer process. It packs 53 billion transistors, and the performance claims they are making are just staggering.
They claim this HC1 chip can achieve 17,000 tokens per second, running Meta's Llama 3.1 8B model.
17,000 tokens per second. For context, if you're running an 8 billion parameter model on a high-end general-purpose GPU right now, you might be thrilled to get a few hundred or maybe 1,000 tokens a second, depending on your batch size and setup. 17,000 is a completely different paradigm.
It changes the math on what you can do with a large language model. At that speed, you aren't just generating text for a chatbot. You could be processing massive streams of real-time data, running thousands of agentic loops in the blink of an eye, or serving tens of thousands of users simultaneously from a single piece of silicon.
But there is a massive, glaring catch here, which is flexibility. The beauty of a GPU is that it's general purpose. Today you can run Llama 3 on it, tomorrow you can run a diffusion model, and next week you can run whatever new architecture researchers invent.
Right. With Talos's hardcore model architecture, the chip is the model. If Meta releases Llama 4 next month, or if you decide you want to fine-tune your model, your custom Talos chip is suddenly a very expensive paperweight. It cannot be updated.
Which makes the economics of this really interesting. Taping out a custom chip on a 6-nanometer node is not cheap. It costs tens of millions of dollars just in initial engineering and masking costs. You only do that if you are absolutely certain you are going to deploy this specific model at a massive, massive scale.
And that's exactly why AMD bought them. Financial terms weren't disclosed, but the deal is expected to close in the fourth quarter of 2026, pending regulatory approval. AMD clearly sees a market for this.
I think they are looking at the enterprise landscape and realizing that not every workload requires the absolute bleeding-edge, constantly updating frontier model. If you are a massive corporation running millions of routine customer service interactions or summarizing millions of internal documents, a highly optimized, dirt-cheap-to-run Llama 3.1 8B is perfectly adequate.
And if you lock that model into silicon, your energy costs for inference plummet. AMD is likely planning to integrate this technology into their Helios rack systems. You can imagine a data center rack where AMD's Instinct GPUs handle the complex, dynamic, or multimodal tasks, while these Talos ASICs sit alongside them and just churn out the high-volume, repetitive inference tasks at 17,000 tokens a second.
And we have to think about the physical reality of the data center. Power constraints are the single biggest limiting factor for AI expansion right now. You have companies trying to build gigawatt data centers next to nuclear power plants just to feed standard GPUs. If Talos can actually deliver these inference speeds at a fraction of the wattage because they aren't powering those massive memory buses, that is a compelling pitch for any hyperscaler.
Exactly. It's not just about the raw speed, it's about the performance per watt. If you can serve 10 times the number of users on the same power envelope, the economics of your AI service completely change. It allows you to offer cheaper API access or run much more complex background agents without destroying your profit margins.
It's a very smart strategic move against NVIDIA. NVIDIA completely dominates the training market and general purpose inference. AMD is essentially trying to outflank them by saying, we can offer you a specialized inference solution that NVIDIA's general purpose chips simply cannot compete with on cost and speed.
It will be fascinating to see if the market actually wants these hardwired chips, or if the pace of AI research is still too fast for anyone to commit to a single model in silicon. But AMD is making a big bet that the dust is starting to settle on some of these foundational architectures.
Let's pivot from hardware to software. On August 7th, Anthropic released version 2.53.0 of their official Java SDK. Now, SDK updates don't always make the headlines, but this one is packed with features that fundamentally change how developers can build AI agents.
Absolutely. This isn't just a maintenance release. Anthropic is pushing some highly advanced agentic patterns directly into their first-party libraries. And doing it in Java is significant because Java is the backbone of so much enterprise software.
The standout feature here is beta support for mid-conversation tool changes using a new header designated mid-conversation-tool-changes-2026-07-01.
To appreciate why this matters, you have to understand prompt caching. When you send a massive prompt to Claude, say a huge system prompt and a long list of available tools, Anthropic caches that prompt so you don't have to pay the full token cost to process it again on the next turn of the conversation.
Right. It saves a ton of money and time. But previously, the cache was extremely fragile. If your AI agent was working through a multi-step problem and realized it suddenly needed a new tool, like say it was parsing documents and suddenly realized it needed a web search tool, the moment you added that new tool to the API request, the prompt cache was invalidated.
Which meant you had to reprocess the entire conversation history from scratch, paying full price and suffering the latency hit. Because of that, developers were forced to front-load every possible tool an agent might need right at the beginning of the session, which bloats the context window and makes the model confused.
With this new beta feature, you can hot-swap tools in and out between conversation turns without breaking the cache. It allows for much more dynamic, lightweight agents. An agent can load the file reading tool, use it, unload it, and then load the database query tool, all while maintaining that lightning-fast, cheap cache hit.
It's a huge efficiency gain. But that's not the only cost control measure they added. This release also introduces native support for session budgets.
This is something enterprise developers have been begging for. When you unleash an autonomous agent with a set of tools, there is always the fear that it will get confused, enter an infinite loop, and just burn through thousands of API calls while you're asleep.
We've all heard the horror stories of a developer waking up to a massive cloud bill because their agent got stuck trying to parse an unreadable PDF over and over again. Session budgets allow you to set a hard financial limit on a specific task. You can tell the SDK this agent has a budget of $5 for this session.
If it hits the limit, the SDK cuts it off. It moves cost management from a high-level account dashboard down to the programmatic per-task level.
And speaking of intelligent resource management, they also introduced the Advisor tool. This is a really elegant implementation of a multi-model architecture.
Yeah. The advisor tool allows a primary executor model, usually a faster, cheaper model like Claude 3.5 Sonnet, to pause its generation and consult a higher intelligence model like Claude 3 Opus for strategic guidance.
It mirrors how human teams work. You have a junior employee handling the bulk of the routine work, but when they hit a complex edge case they don't understand, they can package up the context, walk over to a senior engineer, get advice, and then go back to work. And what's brilliant is how this impacts latency. Opus is incredibly smart, but it's slower. By using the advisor tool, 95% of the interactions happen at the speed of Sonnet, and you only take the latency hit of Opus when the agent explicitly decides it needs help.
That is a crucial point for user experience. And let's talk a bit more about that pinned inference location feature. For a long time, adopting cloud-based LLMs was a non-starter for certain sectors. If you are a European bank, you cannot send customer financial data to a server in Virginia for processing. It violates a dozen different regulations.
Right. Pinned inference allows you to definitively lock the processing to a specific geographic region, like Frankfurt or Paris. It removes one of the biggest regulatory hurdles for enterprise AI adoption. Combined with the session budgets to control costs and the dynamic tool swapping to improve efficiency, this SDK release really feels like Anthropic maturing their platform for serious, large-scale commercial use.
We also need to talk about how this impacts the broader developer ecosystem. Java has a reputation for being a bit stodgy, maybe not the first language you think of for cutting-edge AI research, but it is the language that runs the world's banking systems, insurance backends, and logistics networks.
Right. By bringing these advanced agentic patterns directly into the Java SDK, Anthropic is signaling that they aren't just building toys for startups. They are building production-grade tools for Fortune 500 companies who need stability, cost control, and compliance above all else.
And finally, they added skills auto-loading from GitHub. This allows agents to dynamically pull in new capabilities and tool definitions directly from a repository. It really shows Anthropic's vision for the future. Highly autonomous, cost-aware agents that can adapt their toolsets on the fly.
Keeping with the Anthropic news, they didn't just bless Java developers today. They also released version 12.40.0 of the official Anthropic C# SDK.
It's an identical feature set to what we just discussed. .NET developers are getting the exact same mid-conversation tool changes, session budgets, the advisor tool, and pinned inference locations. It's a coordinated push to bring these advanced agentic workflows to enterprise Microsoft environments.
And rounding out the SDK trifecta, Anthropic also pushed version 1.61.0 of their Ruby SDK.
Same story again. Ruby developers get the session budgets, the advisor tool, and GitHub skills auto-loading. By updating Java, C# and Ruby simultaneously, Anthropic is ensuring that the enterprise backends powering a huge chunk of the web are all equipped for this new era of agentic AI.
Shifting to energy policy, the Trump administration has reached a $1.22 billion settlement with German energy firm RWE to cancel offshore wind leases by canceling offshore wind leases.
RWE is relinquishing its leases off the coasts of New York, California, and Louisiana. In a sharp pivot, the company plans to redirect that capital into U.S. fossil fuel projects, including a $900 million liquefied natural gas facility in Louisiana and $300 million for natural gas turbines.
Interior Secretary Doug Burgum defended the move, saying it supports dependable, affordable power and ensures the energy system isn't dependent on what he called costly subsidies. Critics, however, are pointing out the irony of using billions of dollars from the federal judgment fund to buy out these leases, arguing it's a massive misuse of taxpayer money designed solely to benefit the oil and gas industry.
It's a dramatic reversal of federal energy policy, and it leaves states that were counting on that offshore wind capacity to meet their own climate goals scrambling to find alternative clean energy sources. This latest deal brings the total federal spending on offshore wind lease buybacks to nearly $4 billion.
Finally, a New Mexico court has ordered Meta to pay $577 million over harms to children's mental health.
The ruling, issued by Judge Brian Biedscheid, allocates $420 million for treatment services, with the remainder funding prevention and screening over the next 5 years.
This judgment follows a March 2026 verdict, where jurors ordered $375 million in civil penalties, finding that Meta knowingly concealed risks and harmed youth well-being. The court actually went as far as branding Meta a public nuisance in this context. The scale of this financial penalty is staggering for a single state lawsuit.
In addition to the financial penalties, the court is ordering Meta to implement platform changes, including new banner screens and stricter oversight of privacy settings. Meta has stated it strongly disagrees with the ruling, maintaining that it works to keep users safe and they do plan to appeal. But this case is being watched closely as a potential blueprint for other states pursuing similar litigation.
That is all the time we have for today's briefing. Thank you so much for joining us.
We will be right back here tomorrow with another breakdown of the biggest stories in tech.